Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special off-season edition of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with NFL Game Pass. And we are coming to you in May because I believe our greatest British export to the NFL has retired. Jack Crawford, after 10 years in the league with the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Titans, and the Cardinals, the defensive lineman is calling time on his NFL career. So we got together in London to take a journey from the City of London School in Kilburn, London, where Jack Crawford grew up, to the NFL. Here's my conversation with Jack Crawford. Jack, yes. Just over 10 years since the Raiders called your name. You're calling it a day. What a journey.
I know, man. It flew by.
Did it?
Flew by, man. Yeah. It's just the other day, I remember first going over to the States with like the ambition to kind of pursue a basketball career.
Yep.
And now I'm sitting here, you know, 10 years after playing in the NFL. It's an unbelievable journey, man.
Does it surprise you when you say those words? To think, I mean, obviously you've been living it for the last decade, but that you went for one thing and now here you are, like this kind of example of what British kids can go and do.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's more importantly, it's just an example of like, you know, you never know where life's going to take you.
Right.
And for me, I kind of followed a few opportunities that came my way or, you know, after I went out for the football team, you know, colleges start to take notice of me. I gave up my dreams of basketball to pursue a football career. And since then, it's been a roller coaster, but it kind of I kept kind of going, you know, I would fail and then I would pick back up and get better. And then I would, you know, hit another obstacle and then I would keep going forward. And so, yeah, for me, it's just been a, it's been a roller coaster. I've had tunnel vision. For most of my career, kind of looking at the next step. But coming back to England now, talking to you, speaking with my family, you know, it's funny. It's, yeah, again, it feels like it flew by.
It's funny you said that. There's no, you could be Tom Brady or Drew Brees or yourself or Odell Beckham. There's no smooth path, is there, for an NFL player? You're always going to have to ride out some bumps.
Right, right. And it's funny, but that's like what you miss most about it, I think, you know, and I've, obviously, I'm fresh. I'm just retired. You know, I just came to the decision that, you know, I think I want to hang it up. I think my time is up in this league. It's a young man's game. But then, you know, you look at Tom Brady playing 20 years, and he couldn't even retire for like 2 weeks before he decided I can't live a life outside of, you know, being on the field. And, you know, every athlete goes through that. You know, it's hard. It's like I've got friends who never formally retired. They never officially announced, you know, the end. And because I think they're just still hanging on to that, like, well, what if, you know, what if I get picked up? What if they pick me up for the Super Bowl? I get the game winning sack. You know, it's just, that's kind of the dream as a football player.
So just checking before we go through the next 25 minutes, you're not going to do a Tom Brady and come back in. Just save ourselves a lot of time.
No. You know what? It's funny. I've told too many people. I feel like I've spent such a long time away from my family here in London. That I just couldn't bear to kind of go back into that world of, you know, not being able to come home and visit them for the holidays.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've always, everybody kind of has reached out and said, you know, we're proud of you and, you know, you've represented our country, you represented our family name. So it's, I think that this is officially, this is going to have to, close the chapter and kind of move on, see what's next.
See what the next chapter is. Let's talk about some of your journey then. I always like this story. You
grew up in London. You were in the same class as Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah. What a magical journey. Couldn't resist. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Were you interested in American football at all as a youngster? Was it even on your radar, or was it very much when you then went to America that you became aware of it?
Yeah, not at all, man. Not at all. I had no interest in American football. Actually, you know what? The only time I had interest in American football growing up was in London, was like right after I watched like Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Remember the Titans. Like one of those Hollywood movies. But then the next week I would watch, you know, like Happy Gilmore, and I want to start playing golf. And then I watch Cool Runnings, and then I want to be a bobsledder. And so it's like, you know, it's like I would switch sports every week.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't really have interest until I got to the States.
Right.
And until I started to go to the high school football games. And I started to watch a little bit of college football before I even went to the high school football games to watch them. But, you know, I moved in with a host family over there, like as an exchange student program. And they kind of, the dad and the son, and they would teach me the rules of the game, tell me about the, you know, the legendary players and the coaches and everything, you know, the culture around the game. And, you know, I took interest to it. I wasn't afraid of the physical part of the game because I had grown up playing a little bit of rugby. Mm-hmm. I was bigger than everybody else, so that made it a little bit easier. But, yeah, man, I just kind of took to the game pretty quickly. And, you know, the culture around the sport really, it's unlike any other sport. Mm.
Did you stay in touch with Daniel Radcliffe? He's a big Giants
fan. Yeah, no, I haven't actually. You know, it's funny. It's... you know, we ended up like, so we were in the same class, and my claim to fame story as far as him, it was, I hadn't watched any of the Harry Potter movies at the time.
Right.
And I believe when he came to my school, they had just released the first Harry Potter movie, and I hadn't seen it yet, but everybody knew who he was because he's Harry Potter, yep. Daniel Radcliffe. And I remember we were in the hallway one time, and we were, like, we were passing each other. And I was like, oh, what's up, man? Harry Potter. And he was like, oh, JJ, you're the one who's good at sports. And so he knew my name before I really kind of knew his name. And so that's obviously now it's a little bit reversed. And he's on Hollywood billboards. I'm just an ex, you know, retired player. So it's,
glad you went
that way.
I thought you were going to say you stole his lunch money.
Oh, No. I'm sure he could get it back from me.
Yeah, exactly. Or he could afford to buy some more lunch. So when you got to America and basketball was your vision, how did you then drift into or transition into American football and play both ways, right? Defensive end and tight end.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, really it was just, it was kind of natural. So I was only interested in basketball. We did have like a new football coach who came to our high school in New Jersey. And he saw me in like the hallways and he thought I was like a substitute teacher. Because I was so big. and he would tell me, you got to come out for the football team. But our school was also a predominantly, like a well-known basketball school.
Right.
So, you know, he knew the basketball coach would not let any of his players who were there to play basketball go out for the football team. And honestly, it was natural because the seasons don't really, what's the word? Like, they don't really
overlap.
Yeah, so... we would have basketball practice, but after the basketball practice, they would have football games. Mm-hmm. So I went over to the States when I was 16, and that in the equivalent, it would be my sophomore year in high school. And we would have basketball practice, and then the football games would be starting, and then we would hang around, me and the kid I was living with at the time. We would hang around till after the football games, and then his parents would come pick us up from school. But I was sitting there watching the football games. I didn't really understand the rules, but I'd be watching these little kids run around, and I'd be thinking to myself, I can do this. And I didn't have any, there was no question in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I almost didn't go out. I almost didn't play football. I almost just started going to these like regional combines they have for like high school kids.
Okay, you bypassed the team.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I just didn't fancy going out for the football team right away. I was like, what if I just go to these combines and just show that I can run and my size and that I'm physical, like, or I'm strong, and maybe I'll just get some exposure like that. A couple people who kind of told me that if you really want to get exposure, you have to play.
Do
There's nothing like playing a sport. And then shortly after that, you know, I went out for the team. The coach said, what position do you want to play? And I said, I want to play wide receiver and defensive end. Yeah, so my junior year, I go out for the team. Man, it was first game. I lined up offside every play. Second game, they're still trying to teach me the rules, and I just don't get it. Like, I'm lining up on the line of scrimmage as a defensive end, and I'm like, I didn't quite understand the concept of going forward.
Right.
Like, I would wait for the running back to cross the line of scrimmage, right. And then I would catch him.
Yep.
And they were like, no, you have to go forward and hit him in the backfield. And once they started to kind of tell me, you know, to hold the line of scrimmage and not let the running back go past the line of scrimmage, I started to kind of make some plays in the backfield. I started to get some sacks. And, you know, I was still very raw. You know, as a wide receiver, I remember missing, like, my first opportunity to get a catch. I remember just reaching up, fumbled it, and the ball just goes out of my hands. Everybody laughing at me, and I was just like, man, I don't like this game.
So in your senior year, I read that you were the 15th ranked defensive end in the nation, in America, and you also had 12 touchdown catches.
Yeah.
So were you better on offense or defense?
Yeah, so...
What do you think? Well, obviously it worked out on defense, didn't
I would
it?
Say I was better on offense.
Oh, really?
Naturally, yeah. Because, honestly, running routes and catching a ball was closer to, like, basketball for me. And it just came natural. And so... Yeah, I ended up being a all-state wide receiver in New Jersey, and I played in there's an all-star game in high school called the Governor's Bowl. It's New Jersey versus New York all-stars. I ended up playing in that game with a couple players I actually ended up playing in the NFL with down the road, maybe Mohamed Sanu.
Yep.
A lot of people know him. But yeah, I was actually a better wide receiver, but I always knew that my potential was in defense. And I didn't like the idea of, a lot of colleges that were calling me with interest for me playing receiver were, they would say tight end.
Right.
And tight end was a lot of blocking. And I had zero.
Okay.
Zero talent, when it came to blocking. I just couldn't block smaller players. It was very unnatural to me. Yeah. And to be honest, it's pretty boring to me too. Like, I'm not a blocker. So I knew that my future lay in a defensive end, and then I decided I'd commit to Penn State.
As we go through your career, you played for some iconic teams, the Raiders, the Cowboys, we'll get to in a second, but Penn State, I mean, that what was that experience like?
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Culture shock.
Right.
It was a culture shock. At first I had just got comfortable where I was at in America after leaving London so young.
Yeah.
Moved in with a family in New Jersey. I got comfortable with them. You know, they treated me like family from the moment I got there. And then I had to leave again and, you know, commit to Penn State. But then when it came time to go up there, you know, we're driving 4 hours up into the middle of Pennsylvania and it's just nothing for hours. And then all of a sudden you reach Penn State in the mountains. And, man, I got like, it was like getting homesick again, you know.
Right.
And it was cold. It was, you know, I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
It was a new environment. The level of competition just rose, went to another level, you know, another step forward. And it was tough, man. It was a tough adjustment. Again, you would think that leaving London at a young age would help me prepare for moving again, but it didn't. It almost made it worse because I just had finally, you know, I felt familiar with the people I was with, you know.
Was that worse then as you went through the NFL, through different teams, or did you grow used to it?
It was tough. You get used to it as you get older, but it's tough, man. People don't really take that into account.
Yeah, the human side of it.
Right, and I think that was partly, that partly influenced my decision, you know, to retire, because I feel like it was... you know, just moving from a team where I'm at in my career now, it's likely that I'll be signing a 1-year deal here, maybe, or maybe get picked up over there during the season. And having to pick up and move is bad enough. Mm. But going into a new building, a new environment, a new team where everybody kind of has their friend circles, they've got their own culture, they, you know, everything like that. You're just a new kid at school, you know, every time you sign somewhere. And, you know, it's tough. It often ends up being for the best, is which I've learned in life, is that, you know, at first things can seem pretty grim, but when you stick with it, it ends up usually being for the best. Yeah. And yeah, that's something that definitely I got used to as I went through the NFL. It's never easy, but it helped me grow a lot.
Mm. Let's talk about getting drafted. So you're a fifth-round pick of the Raiders, 2012. I read you were doing a few bits for the British media around the draft this year.
Right, right.
And it was a really interesting quote you had, and it shows you think a different way sometimes. You said, actually, that the draft is the least important day of your career.
Right.
Because it's about what you do afterwards, and it's about situations as well. Yeah. Which is really interesting because we in the media build it up. Oh, it's the biggest day of their lives.
Right.
Whereas you're saying it's just part of the journey. Is the situation important as well? Because your Raiders maybe weren't in the best position as a franchise then. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, being older in the league and being a 33-year-old now and having the opportunity to speak to younger players. And there was a journalist, a British journalist, that asked me, you know, if I had a message to younger players going into the draft, even the English players. I think there was David Ajabo. And he was going into the league. And he was projected high.
Mm.
And for a college athlete, the draft is like the, you know, this is like the pinnacle, or this is like what you've worked for the last 4 years. Mm. All your hard work is rewarded on draft day. And for me, you know, looking back on it, the one message I would want to convey to the younger athletes out there is that the draft day, and just the draft process, but really draft day is the least important day of your football career. And I've played with guys who have gone first round, who I've been drafted in the same class as, who have gone first round and they didn't last 3 years in the league. And then I've played with guys who have been undrafted and they're all pro, you know, Pro Bowl players who are still playing now. And, you know, it goes to show you that this is not the end. This is just the beginning. You're just, you know, starting to scratch the surface of the league and it starts, you know, your job starts now.
Were there, do you think you gave your best version of yourself at the Raiders, or was it a difficult situation there? Was it?
It was tough. It was tough. It was an adjustment, and you know, with the Raiders, I struggled to adjust to the speed of the game.
Right. Okay.
And I feel that I was still young and I was still raw.
Yeah. Like, You haven't played a lot of football, right? Had you, really?
So a funny story is, like, you know, when they brought me into college, that's really where I learned how to play football or defensive line more specifically. And I had a great defensive line coach there, Larry Johnson Sr., who's now the defensive coordinator of Ohio State.
Right.
And, you know, he taught me how to play defensive line. And just like a raw, you know, player from a different country, they just teach you what you need to know. They don't teach me anything about the linebackers behind me.
No, no.
Anything about how to kind of, you know, understand formations on offense. And who's going where on the defense?
Just
as long as you know where you're going
in that moment,
that's all that's important, right? To win a game.
Yeah.
And so when you're getting ready for the draft and you're going into pro day, and I also played in the Senior Bowl, which is the All Star game in the the top All Star game for college athletes. And you meet with all these coaches from the NFL, and when you meet with them, they start to ask you, you know, your strategy, your team's defensive scheme, you know, what kind of defense your team plays in. And I, you know, I remember there was a few of us, one of my, he's a fellow New Jersey player and someone that I was in the Senior Bowl with, Vinny Curry, who played for the Eagles and the Jets. And it was a bunch of us and we were kind of sitting around like, we would just be asking each other, what does this mean? What does bench defense mean? Did you guys play the 3-4 or 4-3? And we were just basically all trying to, like, come to some kind of consensus of how to get through this interview as opposed to being accurate about what kind of defense we played, because none of us had a clue. And funny enough, you know, even American kids, they didn't really know too much about, you know, how defensive schemes and you know, different styles of defense, and whether you play a 4-3 versus a 3-4, what kind of, you know, what that means. Mm. And I had no clue. And I thought that, you know, Yeah, I think at the time I thought I kind of fooled the coaches a little bit, like I knew what I was talking about. Now looking back on it, I don't think they were fooled at all. I just think that a lot of players didn't really understand the full, you know, defensive, you know, the scheme for it. But yeah, man, I think going to the Raiders was, for me, it was tough. You know, I struggled to adjust to the speed of the game. Mm. And for me, I found that challenging. And in the league, a lot of it is on the player to arrive to the situation in the game.
Yeah.
They teach you more game book, you know, like more, playbook, formational, you know, technicalities of the game.
Right.
As opposed to working on just your pure, you know, game, like, you know, your technique versus, you know, or how hard you're playing, how low your pad level is. They didn't focus as much on that at first. And I think I didn't truly understand that until a little bit later in my career.
So you're 2 years with the Raiders, then joined the Dallas Cowboys, which is America's team. It must just hit different. When you think about all the teams you played for as well, is Dallas the one where it's just like, we are in that goldfish bowl?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure, man. Dallas is it's a spectacle, you know.
Yeah,
it's a show. You know, Jerry Jones does a great job with you know, bringing the media and a lot of attention to the team, like corralling the fan base.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely, I would say maybe the highlight of my career as far as, you know, having fun in the league. It's a very high stress game. A lot of time the pressure kind of, you know, brings players down. Your mood is, it's hard to kind of enjoy the moments you have in the league because you're always worried about the next week.
Right.
You know, you're worried about your job half the time.
Yeah.
So I would say in Dallas, we, you know, once we started to win a few games and I started to kind of take that next step forward in my career, the, you know, I started to enjoy it a little bit and I started to see more of a future for myself in the sport. And I also have to say that there I met someone, a coach called Rod Marinelli, who kind of helped me develop my game because he's an old school, you know, Vietnam vet.
Tell it like it is.
Yeah, yeah, he tells it like it is for sure. And he ran us into the ground, but our conditioning was superior to any other team. And he really helped me adjust to the speed of the game.
Do you think those were your, like, obviously I talk about 2014 in a second, but 15 or 16, you played every game that season.
Right, right.
Was that the best period, do you think, as a player for you? Were you at your height, do you think?
No, I wouldn't say so. I would say that that was, that period helped me take a significant step forward to becoming an NFL player.
Yeah.
Until then, I was just a, you know, a young, still on a rookie contract. I was still playing a lot of special teams.
Right.
I was doing a lot of the, you know, in practice, I would be on scout teams.
But by the time you were in Dallas and then Atlanta, you were playing along the line. You're making plays every week.
I had value on the defense. You know, like they would bring me in. I remember getting my first start in 2015, I believe.
Mm.
But that was, you know, my play count started to go up because the team loved me.
Right.
And, you know, all the way from the head coach to the front office to, you know, all the way down to Rod Marinelli, who kind of took me in. They just liked my work ethic.
Yeah.
And they saw that I was raw, but they saw that I would do whatever it takes to outwork everybody else.
Right.
On the, really on the defense, or, you know, they would just see me running nonstop. I'd be running, running. And even if it wasn't perfect, you're going to see me on camera at the end of the play because I'm always going to be running to the ball. And eventually, when I kept giving 100% every day and I kept running to the ball, I started to get a little bit better every day at a time. One day at a time, I started to get a little bit better and my stats started to get better. And then, you know, you start to get a few sacks and then people start to know who you are. And your confidence goes up and it's just, it compounds. So it's, you know, that's when I started to gain a little bit of confidence in my game. And I was always confident in my ability, but showing up on game day, playing to that level, like a starting level in the league, it's another step forward. And that, leaving Dallas, or my last couple of years in Dallas, helped me get there.
2014, you played in London against the Jags, and you had a really good game. You had a sack, you had a forced fumble. But let's talk, you're among friends now, and you're retired. You're safely retired. You told me at the live show, you didn't exactly stick to curfew that week in London.
So
you had a great game.
Yeah.
But did you have an even better week leading up to the game in London?
Yeah, it was a great. It's funny enough, you would, you know, I was always that guy who was worried about going out during the season. I didn't like to go out and party during the week, you know. You know, I did, but I didn't like doing it because I would be worried it was going to affect me on Sunday.
Yeah.
And obviously coming back to London, you know, it was tough to kind of stick to the curfew they had laid out for us the whole week. Usually, you know, we don't have a curfew back in the States during the week.
Right.
So it was hard to kind of make that adjustment because now I'm home and I'm trying to catch up with friends. I have players on the team asking me, oh, man, where's the place to go? And then, so, you know, there were a couple nights and we have a position group dinner, which is a defensive line dinner. We did that every week.
Yep.
Coming to London, I took the, you know, that was my week to kind of take out the defensive line.
Right.
That was one of the nights I ended up getting fined for missing curfew, but we all did. So it kind of made it a little bit better. But yeah, man, it was a great week. You know, I really blame you know, London transportation and just, I really feel like
explain
I should.
Explain yourself.
Right, yeah, kind of ask for a, send them an invoice to kind of reimburse me on that. Because it was just, well, it's typical trying to get around London, thinking that you've got more time than you do. And, you know, the underground system and then getting caught in congestion zone traffic and everything. There was no way. There was a point where I realized, all right, we're stuck in Mayfair or Soho, I forget where we were exactly. We're stuck out here and we have to get to a hotel all the way back in close to Wembley at the time.
Yep.
I was like, there's no way we're making it back in time, so we might as well just enjoy the rest of the night.
So you didn't even try once you got to that
at
period.
A certain point, you know, it's we're team building. We're building, you know, team bonding. So I felt like it was even more valuable to stay out and enjoy the night than it was to kind of try and make it back and then miss curfew by about half an hour because the fine's going to be the same anyway.
Exactly.
So you might as well, as well make the most of it.
Well, it worked. You had a great game.
There you go, yeah.
As you went on to Atlanta then, three really good years, very productive years with the Falcons, and then obviously Tennessee, and then Arizona. Yeah. You had your injuries,
right.
When you were with Atlanta and then Tennessee, did you pride yourself on that versatility? Because it did seem, I mean, you'll know more of the tech, but it seemed looking from afar, you were being moved into different positions, and playing along the defensive line.
Yeah, and that is something that Dan Quinn liked to do too, because based on the situation, he would like, you know, maybe a little bit heavier guys on the field or a little bit more speed on the field. And then there are situations where you don't really know what's coming, so you need a little bit of both.
Mm.
And so he had a lot of guys who are like me who were maybe a little bigger and strong, but they were had some speed too. And so, I felt that I started to become more versatile once I went there just because of the fact that he liked speed. He liked speed on the inside. Usually where you might have some heavier guys, he would go with some smaller or, you know, not so heavy guys, but they would be a little bit faster. And we could play like that because we had so much speed behind us at the linebacker position too.
Mm.
So, I definitely prided myself on being versatile. You know, the more you can do in the league is a saying that, you know, the more valuable you are.
Mm.
And so I'm a guy that I'm not going to turn down a challenge. That wouldn't make sense, you know, coming into the or being in the NFL. So anything they asked me to do, I said I'll do it, and I tried to do it to the best of my ability. And usually when you try to do something new, just in anything, but in the NFL, you start to pick up different pick up different teaching points, different techniques and stuff, and it ends up building your game overall.
More rounded,
And, you know, in Atlanta, Dan Quinn did a good job of teaching me, you know, technicalities of the game, you know, formations, understanding, all right, well, where's the tight end positioned and what does that mean as far as, or the tight end versus the running back, and what does that mean as far as what kind of plays they can run? Do they ever run the ball out of that formation?
Right.
Which way is the offensive line going to go?
Yep.
And once you start seeing a little bit more before the ball, before the play starts, before they snap the ball, then you get a better idea of what guess, you know, your best guess, you know. And that is a lot of football is guessing, but you have to guess full speed and then you kind of react, you know.
How tough was the injury at the end in Arizona? And injuries along the way are all part of it, aren't they?
Yeah, injuries, they're part of the game, and they, It's tough, man. They, you know, it definitely, to say it didn't have an influence on my decision to retire, it would be a lie. It definitely influenced my decision to kind of hang it up. The problem is with injuries, depending on when they happen in the year, is that, you know, sometimes your season's over, and then sometimes you can play through it. And usually the injuries that you can play through are the worst ones, because you don't feel confident. You can't, you know, you want to be out there so bad, but usually you can't. It just, it's hard to play to
You can't be you.
You can't be you, and you can't perform to your best. And truthfully, you have to kind of push an already existing injury even harder, and sometimes that can lead to like worse problems down the line. You know, you kind of sometimes do, you know, permanent damage if you keep pushing a joint that's damaged or, you know, something that's hurt. So, you know, for me at the end, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And, you know, I knew that I actually wanted to retire last year.
Right.
And I was on the fence, and which is not like me. I always think that if you kind of even question retirement, it's over.
Right.
In this game. But, you know, I was on the fence, and training camp had started, and my agent calls me and said, Cincinnati want you to come to their training camp. And I was like, well, this is my last year. Cincinnati weren't that great last year, the previous year. The Midwest is pretty cold. And I was like, I don't know if I want to end my career in Cincinnati in the cold. Yeah. You know, getting hit by 300-pound guys and freezing, Midwest weather. So, I kind of waited a week, and I said, well, let's just wait. And then it was like the beginning of training camp too. And I was like, the more time you can get off of training camp,
yeah,
the better. Veteran move. Being 10 years in the league, you don't have to go every single day in training camp. You can take a few days off. I was like, let me give myself just one more week to kind of decide what I want to do. And then the next week, Arizona call, and my agent says, listen, do you want to play or not? And I was like, yeah. But I was trying to calculate how many days left of training camp there were. And he was like, well, this is closure. And he goes, you might as well just take the money, you know, take the opportunity, you know, 10 sounds better than 9.
Yep.
Go out for the team. If you hate it, then you hate it. Leave. Mm. You always have the opportunity to leave. Yeah. Now, as a competitor, you know, you're never going to go into that position. You're never going to leave. Once you're in the system, you're never going to get out of it and quit. So I said, all right, this is it. This is my last year. I'm going to go out there. And it started to go well. I love the team out there, you know, guys, J.J. Watt, great guy. Zach Allen, another guy. Chandler Jones, I drafted with. So, you know, a lot of the team out there, great. All the culture, the head coach, the defensive line coach, great guys. They love me out there. I had no doubt in my mind that I was going to make the team. It was just the grind of getting back into it. And then, unfortunately, I got injured in the second preseason game, and they said, it's most likely you're going to have surgery, and we're going to put you on injured reserve. And it was tough, man. You know, no player wants to go out like that. You know, I told myself, there is no perfect way to go out. There's no perfect way to go out. I mean, you look at Tom Brady, just won a Super Bowl. He still can't leave. You know, there's no, it's no, every player is going to say, well, what if I just want one more, you know.
Yep.
They keep pushing it. And I think there's something important about, you know, retiring from the game before the game retires you. And I've been around some guys who have been, they haven't played in a year or two, and they're still training, trying to, you know, thinking that they're going to get one shot. And I'm like, the league is just...
So the game retires. Yeah,
retires most of you. And the coaches probably aren't looking at you, man.
No.
You know, they're not looking at the older guys still trying to train and get back in. They're looking at younger, up-and-coming guys.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I felt like it's important. And it's sad, you know, because you're kind of closing a chapter on your life. But, you know, that's life, man. You got to sometimes just let the good times, you know, exist in the past and move forward. And you know, it's never easy, but I've got those memories, you know, from the sport, and I cherish those forever.
A couple more quickly, because you've got a busy day here at NFL UK. There's a room full of media waiting next door where we're going to go. Are you a mementos guy? Do you keep things? If you were going to have a picture on your wall of one quarterback you sacked, who would it be?
Tom Brady.
Was it?
Yeah, easy. And it's really, it was, you know, for me, it was a, you know, it was a good sack. It was a, and it was a third down sack. It was a big sack. And Tom Brady's the best player who's ever played, in my opinion. So for me, it was something special. It's like almost like an exclusive club you belong to. Nice. When you sack Tom Brady, which, you know, a lot of defensive linemen have, but it's, you know, you will never, that's something you could pass down to your kids and your kids' kids for generations, you know, because we're going to be talking about Tom Brady for years to come.
Absolutely. And last one, what advice would you give to those who would hope to follow your lead?
Take the opportunities when they come. Don't ever psych yourself out of an opportunity because you kind of, you go through the whole, you know, you play the situation out in your head and you don't know if you want to do this, you don't know if you want to play that position, you want to be this guy, you want to be that guy. Just take the opportunities if they come. If there's something you don't want to do, do it. And then you'll figure it out later. And I would always say to them, for me, and I would also speak for someone like FA too, trust your effort. Mm-hmm. Effort will take you far. I think effort, only when you give maximum effort is the only time when you truly get better. So I think when you trust your effort, you know, you're not going to be as good as some of these guys out in America, but you can outwork them. Mm-hmm. And that will get you exposure and that will get you far. It'll get you. She got me 10 years. So, yeah, man, I had a lot of coaches reach out to me about retiring, and every single one of them said it was an honor to coach me because of the effort I played with.
Fantastic. There you are. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jack Crawford, one of the good guys. Congratulations, Jack, on an incredible career, an incredible journey. And we will be back at the end of July for season 3 of the Neil Reynolds podcast. We are already collating some big name interviews, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Stay across our socials at Neil Reynolds NFL on Twitter, at the NR podcast as well, and you can see when season 3 launches with some of those big names. Until then, enjoy your summer. Bye for now.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, The Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.